Hello, welcome. This is Pamela Cuccinelle. I'm an astrologer, and I'm about to give you a forecast for the winter months of 2020. And I'm joined by my colleague, Master Healer, Susie Mazzoli. Hello, Susie.
Hi, and welcome, Pam, to 2020. We have finally arrived. I'm looking back and now we've been working together for 7 years, seven wonderful long years. We've been doing a weekly forecast and at the end of which I always jump in and do the 10-minute activation, meditation. So it's been a wonderful 7 years and now we're beginning completely into, we're starting a whole new decade now. So Pam, we're going to be doing a number of four programs now where we will be talking about 2020. And in this short program today, we'll be talking about more or less January, February, and March. And with that, let's jump in. What is happening in winter 2020? And if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in and ask a few questions here and there.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay. So 2020 is a pivotal year. It's considered a pivotal year because of certain planetary pictures that are happening in the sky. It basically is triggered by seven eclipses. The first eclipse occurred December 26th, 2019. And yes, even though that's not in 2020, it couples with the eclipse that's happening on January 10th. And this eclipse cycle is a rather volatile one. And at the time I'm giving this recording, we can see that there is volatility happening in the world at the end of 2019 into 2020. And arguably, there's been volatility for quite some time, a couple of decades. So here we are at this point where in 2020, there are three significant conjunctions. So that's when planets come together in line. And these are three of the six significant conjunctions that we will see through 2025. So the other three are spread over several years, and you can hear that we're in this very intense incubation period. So significant conjunctions are catalysts. They mean things really start to take shape and form, cleave, fracture, all kinds of things occur. And for instance, in 1914 to 1918, there were five. In 1940, 1945, there were six. And so here we are, 2020 through 2025, 26, and we're going to have another six in this period of time. So I'm saying that as kind of an umbrella as we move into this first quarter of 2020, so you can have a sense of why this is action-packed. It's a four-year in numerology, so that talks about structures, new structures being built, or really having to step up and declare where you stand and what you want to make happen. And as a result, we're going to be seeing a lot of these hard lines in the sand that are drawn as we work to balance polarities. The other big themes that happen over this year are Mars and Venus are both in retrograde at different points, and I'll talk more about that when we get to the months that they actually make that happen. But overall, I've talked over the past few years about the rise of the divine feminine. And with this Mars retrograde that happens this year and other things that we're looking at with these huge conjunction activity, is I think it's also very symbolic of not only feminine energy really taking stronger shape, and it's about masculine energy forming in a way that accommodates more reciprocity of these two opposite energies, or seemingly opposite energies. So winter 2020, January, February, March, we will start, as I said, there was an eclipse that triggered the end of December. One of the things to note in that December 26th eclipse was that Jupiter was in line with the sun. And what that can indicate is a real sense of overconfidence. So if you're feeling very pumped up, or you're around somebody who's very pumped up, just be aware that as we move into the partner eclipse on January 10th, we are in this culmination energy right now. So we want to make sure that wherever we're parking that sense of confidence or what we want to make happen, that we're really aware. So let me talk about that. What are eclipses? Eclipses basically are this bright energy that comes in and gives us a revelation. The new moon eclipse, which was the December 26th one, that can signal fresh starts or initiations. And eclipses are just more triggering than a regular new moon would be. The full moon, which is the January 10th one, that's got a ability that has making a climax. So if it might be something that's revealed to you, integrated, that you pull pieces together or get a sense of how you might make that happen. It all depends on how that degree actually touches your personal horoscope. If this is a significant passage for you, or if it's just, oh, okay, that was interesting. Oh, I'm processing that, or I'm seeing how that works. But the deal with the January 10th eclipse is that the planet Uranus, which symbolizes change, freedom, revolution, is going direct that day. So eclipses are volatile by themselves. Uranus changing, stationing like that, changing direction from our perspective here on Earth, always has a volatility to it. And the other thing that's happening is that the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which is exact on January 12th, is moving to that ultimate passage. So this is a lot of charged energy on this eclipse. And with the volatility we're seeing in global events, we can anticipate that isn't going away anytime soon, because even after the eclipse passes, it reverberates and it informs what's going on over the next 6 months or longer. So we're really in this period. The ideal is to, as we get towards that full moon eclipse energy, you want to utilize it in the way that is intentional and not feeling like you're getting overrun by a lot of data or other people's information. So it is happening at a point when we've got the eclipses, the moon is at 20 degrees Cancer, and the sun is at 20 degrees Capricorn. So one of the things that's being talked about is how we're reconciling status, career, how we want to move out in the world with our home life, what we value, what we care about, where are we putting our money? That's huge with this eclipse energy. What is it we invest in? How do we build structures? So, Susie, do you have any thoughts on how somebody might intentionally use this eclipse energy?
So I'm actually looking up the definition, the technical definition of volatility, and it says liable to change rapidly, unpredictable, especially for the worse. So we have this kind of imprint of something happening for the worse, but we know that the world, according to many of our quantum physicists and great spiritual leaders, is something that is something simply that we create. We create from our perspective, we create from our mind. And worse, better, good, bad, right, wrong, these are all conditions that we have learned to understand, that we have been conditioned to work with, to expect. But what happens when we put our mind, our thoughts, our speech, our action, what happens when we put our consciousness into a state of neutrality? So when we see these major intense eclipse energies coming in, and we see the movement of Uranus going direct, which we know all of these things are associated with volatility, I believe that with our mind and with our neutrality, we can transform or transmute this energy, perhaps even direct it into something that is simply neutral. So we're not choosing right or wrong, good or bad, here or there. We're choosing neutrality, and neutrality is space and freedom. So I think that's so much about what we do with this work, Pam, is we're knowing what's coming up because of the astrology. We know the energies that we're going to be facing, that are going to be rushing at our doorstep. And we have the heads up, okay, on this day, the 10th of January 2020, this is the day when we really must, according to all the information that we're hearing, we really must spend time in meditation, meditating on neutrality. And if we're involved very much in the political processes, what's happening in the world today, very important for us to meditate on world peace.
Right, right. That's absolutely true. And the other thing that you came to my mind as you were talking, as we're doing this recording, there are those horrible fires in Australia. So that's talking a lot about the volatility of this season, but how it also precipitates change. We deal with things that are impactful and challenging and difficult, but it's what we arrive at and do with it that can make all the difference. So as you reflect what was going on for you in 2001, because that has an echo with this particular eclipse season, and 2001 was an incredibly volatile time for the world, the globe in general. And we could say, well, it feels like that's the new normal. And to some extent it is, as we're making these big shifts, but peace is the salve, or to have the optimism, faith, and trust to work in that direction rather than get seduced or captivated by what seems to be the momentum. And that's part of balancing these energies as well. So in February, Mercury goes retrograde. A lot of people like to know about that. Mercury is the planet that has to do with communication. So when it is retrograde, appears to move backwards from the Earth's orbit, then what's going on is we're in a time when we're really being asked to like plumb more deeply and figure out, am I communicating from all channels, or am I just flying out my texts and emails and not really paying attention to how it resonates? What is the long-range impact. And the more present we can be in 2020, and in general, we could say it's a very good thing to do, but the more present and in our body we can be, the more effective we are as real change agents in 2020, because we want to be anchored. We want to be in the physical plane. And so as we're meditating, we want to be conscious of this vessel that's carrying us through this earth. So Mercury's retrograde February 16th through March 19th, when it goes direct. And let me talk a little about March, because it's not that not much happens in February, but that a lot of the more significant movements occur different months. So we don't necessarily get this delicious reprieve in February, but we are going through this period that is more about processing than action. Action takes place in January, and in February, we want to be aware of the Mercury retrograde, of course, and also be in preparation for what's happening as we get into March. We have the spring equinox. And so the spring equinox occurs when the sun enters zero Aries. And astrologers tend to see that as the beginning of the year, because it's when the sun sparks off the energy, the beginning of the great circle. And the spring equinox in 2020, the stories that it seems to be telling me have a lot to do with wanting to break into this new feminine energy. The new feminine energy is basically defining what we're about as we move forward. And it's not just women. It's how we think about the power of feminine energy, which has been very distorted over, one could argue, over the past 2,000 or more years, actually longer than that. When we look at the way that women were seen as the life bringers in older societies, and how patriarchal frames wanted to diminish that importance to a point where women couldn't have wealth, women couldn't have power, and we are still working to correct that. No matter how many laws get put into place, and we are seen in the same way we see other groups of people getting shifted down, this sense of how do we rise up and appreciate the different facets of being human. And that is very impactful as I look at some of the messages that are coming through with this particular spring equinox. It's really talking about how we are in this dawning time that has energetic balance than we've been living for thousands of years. So when you try to make those kind of big shifts, you're going to encounter a lot of backlash, a lot of turmoil. And as Susie said, by the definition of volatility, one reason why there's these volatile movements symbolically that we see in the sky is that there has to be an energetic surge to push us out of what has been so staid and physical for such a long time. Because you can't really move it just incrementally. It has moved incrementally to a point where now it needs a blast. And so we're in this blast energy as we move through 2020 and move towards 2025, 2026. So the equinox speaks about the conflict of the power shifts. We have all this planetary energy in Capricorn. It's how we've begun January, even if you look at the January 1st chart. But by the time we get to the equinox, then we've got Mars is in Capricorn, Jupiter's in Capricorn, Pluto's in Capricorn, Saturn's in Capricorn. And so Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn signal structural change and irrevocable transformations. Jupiter running to catch up with that journey. And so that's why January, February, we have this nice little lift as Jupiter has been tracking over where Saturn and Pluto traveled as it's in Capricorn. And that's part of the buoyed up optimism, which makes people make maybe hasty decisions or not long thought out. So the best decisions to be making and moving as we go through the first quarter of 2020 are, what are decisions you made a long time ago? What are things you've been building on? What are things you want to reinforce and add buttress and work towards? And what are things that you realize, maybe that structure wasn't really as firm as I thought it was, and now I have to shift and change it? So making good calculated adjustments and working in a sense with cautious optimism are the best ways to work these 3 months. I do need to add that on March 21st, Saturn enters the sign of Aquarius, and even though it will retrograde and go back into Capricorn later in the year, this is significant because it is moving into an air sign, and that is going to be something we talk about a lot more. Susie, what are your thoughts?
It's interesting. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of structure and how we look at ourselves. Perhaps we can identify the ego as a structure, that ego, our personality, what we think we are, is a fairly, in most cases, it's a fairly limited structural state. And what we're doing, perhaps in this time, we have the opportunity, is to really identify, like, what is this I? What is this me? And it's perhaps by the softening of our ego or the softening of the concepts that are really motivating us. If we soften those, then perhaps we can bring in this more expansive energy. A lot of people are speaking about male and female energy this year. But I don't know. I tend to stay away from the idea of male and female. And I prefer to use words that are more, I guess, emotional in a way. So I think this is a time now where all of us, male and female, we're bringing in more understanding, more respect. To me, this year, with all of this, especially the period we're talking about, being in the blast energy, I think this is really pushing us again to this place of, where can you be in neutrality? Where can you be listening? And that doesn't mean that we're not in action. We can be absolutely in action, in virtuous action. But we're going from a place more of peace, or more from the heart center. So our actions are coming from the heart center with respect and listening for our fellow human beings and our earth. And we're not going into it with the drama, with the volatility, with the fear, because as we know, this year is going to be, of course, escalating all of the fear mongering and everything. So how do we come back again and again and again to that place of neutrality, which to me is very much coupled with the concept of impermanence, that everything is impermanent. So how do we work with that? How do we work with change? It sounds like it's also a very important time, these first few months of the year, to really be spiritually aware as well, Pam. It feels like we're being given an opportunity to upgrade, to reach much deeper into ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And to take responsibility for our role as spiritual beings, instead of, you know, pushing it out there or making it be some other force, because we have much more power than we think we do. And we link into that sense of spiritual connection. And it, one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking is that on the equinox, it's just a couple of days before Mars is exactly in line with Pluto. And to explain the power of this, it happens every 2.5 years. So it's not like it's a rare occurrence. But the thing that makes it so powerful now is all those other planets that are in Capricorn. So what that's about when Mars and Pluto are together is Pluto is irrevocable transformation. It is unconscious power. It is the wealth within. And Mars is the directive, drive, passion. And so when those two planets are in lineup, we are in this energy that is like a engine that is as big and as forceful as it can possibly be. And as we think about the things that you mentioned, fear-mongering, and I had this flash thinking, oh yeah, public speaking. Because a lot of people, the number one fear is public speaking. But when one becomes good at public speaking, they realize, oh, I'm always going to feel like I've got these butterflies or this nervous energy inside of me. And what one learns is how to channel that, so that energetically it's a force, a charismatic force. And that's what I see with this Mars Pluto conjunction, is we can't be afraid of our power and our energetic force. And so it's totally appropriate to be using that in a very directed way, meditating or in whatever communication one is involved in, so that we're aware of the power in our words, in the power in our listening. And the more aware we are of it, the faster the change.
And as we know, we can certainly direct that power now to Earth, not to politics necessarily, or to the this or the that in the smallest categories that they exist in, but to Earth as a whole, which we can do through social, political, economic, cultural, environmental, everything. But I think this is the big year for everyone to absolutely wake up and understand what is happening to our planet. The fires in my homeland being so terribly, terribly devastating and sad, and showing us what is happening when there is a change in the temperature, a change in the ocean current, a change that brings about such massive loss of life and devastation. It really demands our attention to change the way that we're living on this planet. So hopefully people of Earth are going to use this directive, driving passion to really address our home, our planet. And we do that individually. We do it one by one every day in how we live, in how we think, and in how we communicate. Pam, shall we jump into our Turbo Boost meditation?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to do 10 minutes. I invite you all to take a few deeper breaths. Make sure that you're sitting with a nice straight back, allowing the energy to move very equally through your body. And as you take a few deeper breaths, recognizing that you are both male and female, you are the culmination of everything that ever has been and that ever will be. Everything exists within you, absolutely everything. The entire universe is encapsulated in your consciousness. Everything is here within you. And it is just a simple little movement that can happen with a huge blast of energy, or it can happen with a gentle and simple breath when you shift your perspective. To shift your perspective, all you need to do is make that tiny micro movement that can have a huge effect in your life, to move away from drama, to move away from judgment, to move away from fear, and to move into a state that is expansive and neutral, where there is plenty of space to be in acceptance, to be in respect. And as you feel these blasts of energy from the world around you, from the cosmos, from the community, from the world that you live in, perhaps from your own inner landscape, allow those blasts to be simple agents of change. What are you able to direct this energy into your life? Can you use it to soften the ego? Can you use it to dismantle the anxiety? See it simply as an electricity, a type of electricity that comes into your body, into your mind, and you're able to use it to switch on the lights. You're able to use this force of energy to motivate you into bringing changes personally in your life, perhaps eating well, moving well, socializing, deepening into your spiritual practice. Use the energy as a fuel. Use this fuel to deepen into what you are now. At the very, very core of you, enlightened, liberated, the Buddha nature, the one that is compassionate to the core. And as you're feeling this energy, know that whatever you are doing, whatever righteous thoughts, virtuous actions are coming from you, are radiating all the way through your body, bringing about healing, but also you are radiating out into the space around you, into the world around you. Your single being has a dramatic effect on the world around you. So as you take responsibility for this immense field of energy that you are, as you take responsibility for every single thing that is happening to you, it is not the result of some external force. It is not the result of someone else. It is always due to cause and effect, and it's all up to you, up to this one being, that you understand yourself to be. So you take responsibility for where you are in your life, for what is happening to you, for all the good and bad things that have happened to you, for all the good and bad things that you might have done. As you take responsibility, understanding that you alone are the creator of this life, you alone are creating every single moment that occurs after this moment now. And with the clarity of mind, understanding yourself, understanding that this precious human life is exquisite and meaningful, and you yourself are creating the exquisiteness and the meaningfulness of this life. How very, very special you are, and how very, very special your life is right now. And as you take the responsibility, you are able to shift your perspective. And in this time now, what do you want to reinforce? What structures within yourself and in the world around you do you want to reinforce, recreate, re-energize? As this world around you is constantly verbalizing, mirroring your inner world, make sure that your mind is clear, that your inner world is clear, that you are able to see the reality, see past all of the drama, past all of the veils, past all of the manipulations and deceptions, past all of the advertising and promotion, and see what is reality, what is permanent for you, what is impermanent for you. And recognize that this gigantic energetic engine that is you, that is big and forceful, is literally the same as this energy outside of you that you are experiencing, the blast of energy, the shifts in the world, the demands for change, the demands for revolution. This is your inner world now, demanding change, demanding a restructuring. It is your world now that is coming back to what is the most important, the loving kindness of all beings, the loving kindness towards the self, and the loving kindness towards every single atom, towards every single being, plant, animal, everything. And as you deepen into this loving kindness in your own heart, send it out in rainbow light to all beings everywhere, so that all beings can be free of suffering, so that all beings can know the clarity of mind and can experience loving kindness. And as you feel this rainbow light reaching out from your heart center throughout your body to all beings everywhere, take a few deeper breaths, gently opening your eyes and knowing that you are this pure loving kindness.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was a great passage to take us through the next few months. And we'll talk again very soon. Susie and I will make a recording about the spring, so you know what to look forward to. So you can find us on activespirituality.life. And this is Pamela Cuccinelle. I wish you a good beginning of the year.
And I wish everybody peace, neutrality, love now, and let us all come together, especially on the 10th, and meditate together for world peace. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Share with your friends, and we will see you very soon. Thanks so much. Love now.